All right, welcome to the show, The End. We're on the EJ Podcast here. I'm your host, Ernest EJ Christian, coming to you here at the Palatial Christian Estates here on a late, kind of late evening, Saturday evening here. This podcast should be dropping on your feed at some point between Saturday night, Sunday morning. We'll see what Big Jim does and puts it out there. But today's show, you know, we keep it simple and easy. Try to keep the show relatively quick. It's efficient. 15, 20 minutes, sometimes more, sometimes less, depends on how I feel. A couple of topics we're going to talk about in the NBA as we get down to the nitty-gritty of the NBA season here. But first off, this podcast, subscribe on any podcast catcher, especially, guys, on the Huddle Up podcast feed, on any Huddle Up Incorporated feed, on Spotify, on Stitcher, on Google, you name it, it's up there. Especially, guys, check out the Huddle Up podcast YouTube channel at I'm telling you right now, it's at Huddle Up Podcast on YouTube. And of course, you follow my channel also. I have my own work, my own podcast, all my own stuff as well. I do. You can check out as well on the Ernest Speaking, not Ernest Speaking, at my YouTube page at Ernest, at youtube.com/@ErnestChristian. So let's keep it short and sweet here today, because I got a lot of things to get to today. I got a long weekend still ahead of me. So first things first, last week on the show, we discussed Joel Embiid and the Sixers missing him, and maybe you ever heard any updates on no updates from Joel Embiid when he's come back, all this stuff. Well, we got an update, actually. Possibility that Joel Embiid could be back for the Sixers within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Now, the question is going to be now going forward is that when he comes back, will there be enough time between him and the playoffs, him returning in the team to the playoffs? Right now, the number 8 in the playing situation in the Eastern Conference. They're a game and a half back of the 6th seed in the East behind Indiana. The number 8 and 7 tied to Miami, the playing situation. That's the question. Obviously, Joel Embiid was, in my opinion, the runaway frontrunner for MVP prior to his injury. Obviously, he won't be looking at that award because he's missed too much time due to new rules. However, one can argue that he has actually proven his MVP worth just by not being there, actually. So, but yeah, that's the situation going forward. I am curious, what happens now with, Embiid, and when he gets back in time, what happens with that? But the Sixers could definitely use him. Definitely they miss him. He was, again, fantastic this year, and, yeah, that is that. So we'll see how that plays out. All right, next topic here. You know, you talk about the Western Conference this year, and there's a lot of great stories in the Western Conference. So obviously, OKC, what they're doing in the West, number one in the Western now currently. Minnesota, what they've done this year. Obviously, Nuggets are the defending champions and still sustaining. The Clippers have a really good year with James Harden in tow. We got a lot of really, really cool stories. But kind of feels like, for me, that no one is talking about the New Orleans Pelicans. Currently, they're 5-0 in the West. You have actually a healthy Zion Williamson, especially this late in the year. No one's talking about the Pelicans. It's weird. I wonder why. They're only a game and a half back of the 4th seed in the West. That's still up for grabs. And they've been really good this year, and no one's talking about them, especially in the competitive Western Conference. Again, how healthy Zion, too, especially, which would have been the thing we've been praying for as NBA fans. Again, a healthy Zion Williamson. And you know when he's healthy. We knew when he was healthy. This is a team that can be dangerous. Last year, before he got hurt and missed the rest of the season, they were number one seed in the West. And then it was late December, he gets hurt and he missed the rest of the year. You're seeing the value. I'm just surprised no one's talking about the guy. That's what surprises me. That no one's talking about the guy. So, but it's good to see this. It's a really good story. I wish the media would pay a little more attention to it. No one's really paying attention to this team. Yeah, so hopefully, we'll see if this team, actually gets some more respect as it's his final weeks of the NBA season. All right, take number three. So Anthony Edwards has been arguably top 10 player this year, arguably. And he's been phenomenal this year. And a lot of talk about Anthony Edwards and comparing Anthony Edwards. Like, who does he remind you of? And a lot of people say that Anthony Edwards reminds them of a young Michael Jordan. Now, obviously, you hear things like that, like everybody's saying, wait, you can't do that. You can't just compare Michael Jordan to this guy. But the key phrase here is a young Michael Jordan. And I remember I watched some old Jordan tape, and I watched Evers again. And honestly, I can see it. I can see the young Jordan attributes, if you will. The guy is fearless. The guy is quick. The guy is an acrobat on the court, a high flyer. A lot of people don't really remember. People remember Jordan's six rings and the more efficient player, with the mid range shot, getting the three when he needed to, the whole nine. A lot of people don't remember because it's been so long. It's almost 40 years now. The young Jordan, you know, from 84 through 89, 90, you know, that people forget that Jordan. And there's a lot of that in this kid. Again, we're not saying he's better. We're not saying he's this guy, this and that. We're just saying that the way he plays, his style of play reminds many of a young Michael Jordan. And honestly, as someone who studies the game, who loves the game of basketball, I actually agree with that. So, yes, Eddie Edwards absolutely does remind me of a young Michael Jordan. All right, that's the first take. Fourth take. I said we're going to go quick here today because I got a lot going on this weekend. Last week we just listened to the podcast how, like, there's the MVP race, said too fast, is really a two-man race, in my opinion. Tier one, two guys, SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Nikola Jokic. But I want to give some props to a couple of players. If I did a top five rankings of the MVP race, obviously those two guys, SGA 1, Jokic 2, but neck and neck. Just three other guys that I believe should at least get some recognition. Obviously, Jason Tatum, what he's done in Boston this year. They have far and away the best record in basketball this year. Some people say that he should be taking more seriously in the top two conversation. I disagree with that. But this is me. Then you got Anthony Edwards as well, too. As I just mentioned about Anthony Edwards, he's another guy. Especially now, considering he's missing guys. He's missing Gobert. He's missing Karl-Anthony Towns for a little stretch here. And they're still holding serve in the top three in the Western Conference. But also Jalen Brunson as well should be a conversation. Because the Knicks, again, missing Julius Randle, missing OG Anunoby for stretches this year. And the Knicks are still a top four seed, or right now they're five in the East, but excuse me. But right now, fighting for that top four spot in the Eastern Conference, and Jalen Brunson has been nothing short of amazing. I think he's like top five or top six in the league in scoring currently. I mean, again, no one had this kid being this good again. So I just want to give some shout outs to these three guys, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, and Jalen Brunson, guys who I believe are in, not necessarily in the tier one conversation with SGA and Jokic, but at least guys that are actually should get some love in as guys who would be in the MVP race 3-5. So that's that. All right, finally, last thing we get out of here. Coach of the Year race. Coach of the Year. Again, I think this is only really a two-man race. I think the guy in OKC, Mark Dagnall, should be considered for Coach of the Year. The Thunder are right now number one in the West with 14-ish games to go. So definitely him. And the other guy I believe should be getting Coach of the Year love, honestly, is Jamal Mosley, Orlando. This bad team, we knew we'd be better this year, but we didn't think we'd be this good. I think this is a closer race. Like, I'll give it to Dagnall because OKC now is winning 50-plus games currently. I know we knew they'd be good, not this good, but I think what Jamal Mosley's doing in Orlando, especially in a conference, is actually really improved. Is phenomenal. Right now, they are number four in the Eastern Conference now, currently as of recording. That could change tonight. We'll see. But what he's doing is amazing. I will go Dagnall 1 and Mosley 2. I was saying, too, also that if the only way for what's his face in Boston, let me get his name real quick, make sure I get it right. I know his name. I forgot his Joe Mazzulla. Thank you. Joe Mazzulla. For Mazzulla to have a serious crack at Coach of the Year, the Celtics will have to win north of 65 games. And they would have to pretty much run the table to get to that point. And I don't know if they'll do that. but they're definitely on their way to winning 60 plus easily. Right now my two man race in the course of the year bid is Mark Dogginall in OKC and then Jamal Mosley in Orlando. So those are my two course of the year candidates right now. Really two man race there. So that's that. And that'll do it for this somewhat revisited episode of the N1 podcast with EJ. On Twitter for me, of course, EJ7. To all my work, of course, in my Linktree at linktree.com/ErnestChristian. My YouTube page, of course, especially at youtube.com/ErnestChristian. So that's fast. Other than that, guys, enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you guys soon. Take care, and see ya.